Anybody needing Christ today? Well, here today we find out that Jesus cares. If you didn't know that before, Jesus cares. We're going to be in Luke 7, verses 11 through 17. As we haven't been in Luke in quite a while. We're going through the Gospels in a chronological way, and as we do so, we've been following Jesus in his journeys, and he's been in, for the last several weeks, in Capernaum. And in Capernaum, he's taught in synagogues, he's healed people, he's cast out demons, he's made several proclamations. It's been a great time. And then we see that we found him praying, and everybody's like, "Oh, come back, and we want you to hang out with us forever." And Jesus says, "You know, I've come for this purpose, to go and to proclaim the gospel, proclaim the truth of the kingdom of God throughout all the villages, throughout all the cities, throughout all of Israel." And so we find Jesus, that's what he's doing. And we looked at that last week of what is that, that gospel, that we're supposed to be about the same things that Jesus has for us today. We're in Luke 7 because as he left Capernaum, he went southwest working, looks like he's working towards Jerusalem. We'll see that in his journeys. And he goes a little southwest at a small town outside of Nazareth. And about a day's journey away from where he was. It's a town of Nain, mentioned only in one place throughout Scripture, and it's right here. And Jesus' work was to proclaim the good news, to pray of God's love, of God's redemption, and God's eternal rest as we are with him forever for all of those who do believe. Let's pray, and then we're going to read from Luke 7, verses 11 through 17. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we've already seen, Lord, throughout this morning, through what we have sung, through the verses that we have read, that you're a God who loves us, a God who cares for us, a God who created us, and even though we have sinned, Lord, you have done all that needs to be done to bring redemption to us. We're thankful for being a patient and a gracious God, Lord. But it is clear, Lord, you've called, Lord, for all those who fear, all those who revere you, all those who have faith, all those who have belief in you. Lord, may we be among them. Lord, if we're not, I pray, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit that you would change that today. Father, open up our hearts, our minds, our ears, Lord, our spirits to all that you have for us in your word today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke 7, verses 11 through 17, if you're among those who like to stand when we read, this would be the time that you would do that. You're welcome to do so. It says, "Soon afterwards, he," speaking of Jesus, "went to a city called Nain, and his disciples were going along with him, accompanied by a large crowd. Now as he approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, 'Do not weep.' And he came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt. And he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Fear gripped them all, and they began glorifying God, saying, 'A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people.' This report concerning him went out all over Judea and in all the surrounding district." He may be seated. So here we see Jesus cares. He comes in this, he's again traveling, and comes into this small village called Nain, and without being asked, without being prompted, and so far we've seen people come and bring in family members and friends to where Jesus could pray for them and to minister to them, and here we see Jesus walks upon this, and immediately he sees the need. I mean, here is, first of all, God knows everything, and we know that. But we see here that this a widow's situation in this time, especially in these days and times, it was very desperate. The scripture said that she had one son. She was a widow. Therefore, everything in this is very harsh world at this time, and there's still cultures today in the Middle East and Africa and different places where it's harsh for a widow with no children to survive. They're challenged to make a living. It goes to begging. It's just tough times. They have no companion as far as family goes, no protector. There's no provider. And Jesus' deed is where it looked just like he just simply raised a man. He saved a widow's life. And so Jesus, again, no one asked, and no one really knows why. And there's some speculation and commentary that I read. You know, you notice there's a large crowd that was following him. Following her. And so there's some speculation that with such a large crowd, maybe she was a very loving person and the son was a very loving person. And so they gave back to the community to the community in which they lived. And but again, that is entirely speculation. But we see in verse 13 exactly why Jesus moved into this life. He saw the circumstance, he understood the circumstance, and it said in verse 13 that he had compassion. The NIV, if you're reading from that, says that his heart went out to her. You know what I'm saying? So this whole part, this whole act of Jesus in this small village of Nain, it reveals his compassion, not just for widows, not just for those who have died, but for all mankind. And so today, our first point is that Jesus cares for you. Very simple, nothing profound about that. Jesus cares for you. And so some things that, I mean, he prays for us. We looked at that in Scripture, where he's in heaven today. We find in Romans 8, and we find in other places where Jesus prays for us even now. He loves us. We saw that. He's coming again. He loves for us to pray, not out of our perfection, but out of our confession, for fellowship, sharing, and asking, depending on him. He says, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and everything else will be taken care of. And remember, that whole passage in Matthew 6 there that he's talking about is the context of worrying. So whoever worries, you ever worry? Yeah. And whoever doubts, you ever doubt? Who's ever afraid? And not about the fear that he's talking about here. He says everybody who fears him, talking about reverence and being in awe. We see here in this passage that they feared him. It's not that they were afraid of him. It's that they were in awe of him. And it was just, I mean, can you imagine seeing that? You're in a funeral procession, and then this gentleman that you have yet to meet just walks up and says, stop weeping. And goes and says, arise. And we see that he's Jehovah Jireh. He's the God who provides. We see that he's El Ra'i. That's the God who sees us. He sees us. He knows us. And he is Yahweh Shammah. He is the God who is there in your deepest, darkest moments, the time that you, the things where you struggle with things that nobody else knows about, that you can't even share with your closest friend. You're not even comfortable sharing with your pastor or even with a counselor. Jesus is there. And also, he loves us. He cares for you. Even in the midst of our weaknesses, even in the midst of all that we are, Jesus cares for you. Next thing we see in verse 14 and 15, we see literally that he spoke to him, and what happened? The dead man, he arose, he sat up, and he began to speak. It doesn't say what he speak. I like how the video said he first, the words were, you know, mama, what's happening? Why am I here? I can remember at the end of first grade, I was hit by a car, and it knocked me out, and I woke up, and my first words were, mama. not so patiently, yeah. And so that's just, my mom was there. But he sees this. But we see that the dead man, Jesus spoke it, and the dead man sat up and spoke. Why is this? Because Jesus cares for us, and what we see next is that Jesus can do the impossible. Jesus can do the impossible. And he says, cast all of your cares, all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you. He cared for this woman. He cares for us. And how can Jesus do these impossible things? Well, first we find scripture all the way through scripture that is supporting it. But one that I bring you today and I encourage you to write down is Colossians 1:15 and the verses after that. It says that through him, by him, all things are created. And not just are they created by him, but they're created through him. And it says, for in him all things hold together. I mean, think about that. All things hold together. All that you may know about atoms and molecules and the elements of this world, Jesus is through him that it was even spoken into existence, and it was his idea to make it happen in the first place, and it is through him that holds it all together. I sometimes struggle with the things I ask him, sometimes little things. You know, Lord, help me with this. Oh, Lord, I can't find my keys. Will you help me find my keys? And I'm like, can I talk to Jesus about that? I mean, there's people starving in the world, and I'm asking Jesus to help me find my keys. Maybe it's big things. Big things that I'm struggling with, which are, I know already what his word says, and I know it to be true, but I still struggle with these things. But scripture says to pray about all things, and it says to pray without ceasing. And I believe that he's a God who cares for us, and he says those things. He tells us that we have not because we ask not, and he tells us throughout scripture to pray, to come to him, to come to the door and knock, ask, and we will receive. And so we see that we have a God who cares for us and wants to fellowship with us. Remember when we were talking about Jesus praying, this was 2 weeks ago, we looked at that. And you know, we kind of try to speculate, what do you think Jesus was praying about? I mean, this was Jesus, and one of the things, remember, it was after a night of ministry where lives were changed, demons were cast out, people were healed, and just imagine that he was just sharing about the victory. Oh, Father in heaven, do you see what we did last night? Oh, do we praise him? Do we tell him of the good things? Yeah, we can share with him all the things that are bad and all the things that we're worrying about, but we got to be true. We got to be sure. There's the word that to talk to him about everything. God, this is good. Thank you for the good things that you're doing. Lord, we praise you and we glorify you. You ever been tempted whenever you've been praying and praying and praying and then something finally the prayer is answered and you're like, "Oh, it all happened." And so maybe it wasn't that big of a deal in the first place. Like, imagine, this guy's dead, and he's going, and Jesus approaches him and says, do not weep, and arise, and the man rises, and somebody says, wow, he wasn't dead in the first place. Oh, can't we be guilty of that? Where God is moving in impossible ways, and in our own rational thinking that we just totally eliminate faith altogether. We got to be careful not to do that. Again, it is him that is worthy of all glory, and the fact that we have breath in our lungs, as we just sang and as we pointed out, as we were made from dust, is because of God's grace. It was his idea. When we think about creation, you got to think we are a part of that creation. Day six, he made everything just right and then let us see. Now, a side thought in the midst of this. We've read about some things this morning about all those who revere him, those who do his will. And we've seen that almost week after week after week. And so if a dead man will obey him, how much more should we who are physically alive obey him? A debate to that, could that guy even have a choice to obey him? I don't know. But we do. And how much more important if we choose him today to live for him? But we see in verse 16 where this lady says, the mother in the video, we're not sure, it says the people said, but in the video, it was the mother that said it. But we in scripture, we see people said it, that God, they said that God has visited his people. We see that in verse 16. God has visited his people. And so, again, what we see in the third part of what we see is that Jesus's mission reveals God's love for us. I mean, the whole reality of why Christ is here the first time reveals that Jesus loves us. We were created. Everything was perfect. Genesis 1, Genesis 2, Genesis 3, we see evil come into the world, tempts Adam and Eve, or tempts Eve and then Adam, and then they fail, and then through that sin is introduced into the world, and then, oh man, things from there is just this spiritual battle that's going on. And we see Jesus, he came, and we looked at the verse a couple weeks ago where he came to bring destruction to the works of the devil. This whole this story of salvation here that we read, it is an illustration of what of salvation. I mean, think about this. Like this man, imagine this man is dead. He's on the scripture said a coffin. When you look at the commentaries, it was most likely a stretcher is very appropriate. But think about it. Like this dead man, the whole world is dead in sin. I mean, it's hard for us to grab hold of that, of how are they dead when they're up and moving around and they're breathing. But the reality is that in their sin, they are separated from God. Remember, Jesus said in John 3:17 and 18, he talks about that, hey, he didn't come to condemn the world. The problem is the world's already condemned. What he has come to bring salvation, to rescue, and that's his purpose because he cares for us. But the whole world is dead in sin, just like this man laying on this stretcher, laying in this coffin, and being dead, he can do nothing to help himself. In the same way, we too can do nothing to help ourselves. And in this place, people who are in this place and like this, they don't even know they are to ask for help. And they couldn't even save themselves if they wanted. And so just think about that. Let's just hold on that image of a dead person and translate that to a person who is spiritually dead. Usually those people we don't want to be around. Usually those people aren't like us. They don't talk like us. They don't do things like us. They don't speak like us. They're different. They don't look like us sometimes. They don't smell like us. But the reality that God cares for us, and he cared for us and when we were dead, and at the same time, those people are important to God too. And those people, they cannot pull themselves out of this spiritual death. They don't even know how to get out. They don't even know they're there. And at the same way, we got to be like Jesus in the midst of this to be able, through the power of the Holy Spirit and through prayer and being prayed up and living right and taking, you know, all those things that we find in Scripture, taking the log out of our own eye before we go and deal with a splinter in somebody else's eye. And that we got to be prayed up in such a way that God works in our life to go and to these people who are dead in the world and to tell them about the love of Christ. About how Jesus can change their life. Again, God cares for us. He has had compassion on us in the same way as followers of Christ. We see through the Great Commission that we too are supposed to care for others, supposed to love God first with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and the next is to love our neighbor as our what? As ourself. And so this compassion, it goes out. But in the same way, this illustration of this man being dead, we see Jesus raising him up, bringing him to life, and in the same way he has raised us up and he wants to raise other people up. And I mean, think about this dead man, too. He's just laying there. He's just dead. Man, that's kind of, I mean, there's nothing that he could do to earn a second chance. But look at Jesus' grace and mercy here. No one deserves a second chance. But Jesus has given us that second chance, and other people as well deserve a second chance. And since we've had that second chance, it is to live for him, not just to live for ourselves. And so where we don't have that second chance, where we didn't deserve that, but it was by his grace, by his mercy, what can we do in that? We can accept God's gift of life. We can praise him, and then we can use our life to do his will. We all, if we have been affected by the gospel, it's not just so we can gather in this place day by day. It's for the purpose of us loving him, of seeking him, of loving others in the same way, to where Jesus works through us in such a way to where he begins to draw people to himself, and then we begin to proclaim the gospel. That's who we are. Why? Because Jesus cares for them in the same way that he cares for you. That's a big idea, simple. We've been going long for a long time, for the last several weeks. And this is it. Big idea. Jesus cares for you. I want to see some of you writing down that big idea. Jesus cares for you. Simple. Hopefully you walk. Hopefully that simple idea is of some encouragement today for somebody here. But I want to spend just a time in prayer. And I don't do this very often, but I'd like everybody to just bow their head. No one looking around. I know some of you are still writing. Let's bow our head. If God can see the need of a widow without her ever approaching him, guess what? He can see your need as well. He can see your need. Raise your hand if you have a need. I'm not going to ask you to come up, but I am going to pray for you. Just raise your hand nice and high. I want you to confess that need out loud, you know, to the Lord in your heart and your mind. What is that need? Also, we know that if God can raise a dead man, then he can heal all of your ailments. Raise your hand if you have an ailment and you need healing in your life. I know all our heads are down, but my hand is up, where we need God's intervention in our life in some way. Raising a man from the death to life is really one of Jesus' specialties. He did it himself. And maybe you're here today needing, maybe you're feeling drawn to surrender your life to Christ. Maybe he's been calling you. I invite you to raise your hand as well if you are among those. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for just the example that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, you are a God who sees our needs before we even ask. You know our prayers, you know our words, you know everything about us before we even speak them into words and lift them up to you. And Father, we are thankful for that. Father, Lord, and you know all those that who rose their hand today. Lord, you know the confession that they made about their needs. You know how they've been praying. And Lord, I pray that you'd pour out your blessings in such a way that their needs are met to where they can say, hey, look at what God has done for us, and you receive the glory. Father, also there's people in this room that have ailments. Thankfully, we're not like the man who's laid out on a stretcher dead, but we're here and Lord, that you care for us and you've seen these different things that people need. Lord, you know the ailments that I have in my life that I've been praying about. Father, you're a God that heals, a God who cares for us. And Lord, we pray for your healing. We pray that you'd meet our needs. And Father, you saw the hands of those that saying, hey, that today that we need to surrender our life to you, and you've been calling. Father, I pray that you would bring change into that life, Lord, regardless of what it is, if it's rededication, if it's salvation, whatever it may be. Lord, may you be glorified. May it be done. Help us, Lord. And thank you for being a God who cares for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Here in a moment, Josh is coming up to play for us. I say play for us. It's just to lead us out. If I'm going to be right over here to the side if you would like prayer. If you are among those who raised their hand of today, you need to surrender your life to Christ, and I would love to talk with you. If you're wanting prayer for these specific things, then I would love to pray with you on those. Maybe you want to grab somebody to your left or right and say, hey, pray for me in these things. This is a house of prayer. We are a people of prayer. And I trust that people would be about that. And then if you're somebody who would just like to come to set up an appointment to talk about different things, maybe baptism, maybe membership, maybe whatever it may be, I will be right over here looking forward to talking to you. Thank you for worshiping with us today. And remember, God cares for you.